Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 96 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
We are here to bring you the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. How are you doing, Seth?
I'm tired, but I am great. I just flew in from California, and boy, are my arms tired.
Oh, I bet.
Is there a rim shot in there? Do we have a rim shot in our library? No.
Okay. I know. I wish.
Yeah. It's been way too long, but I finally got back to Anaheim to do a big research trip for the Unofficial Guide to Disneyland 2022 edition, coming to find bookstores everywhere towards the end of this year. A lot of new things, a lot of new changes, the whole world of post-COVID, or actually present COVID, which we're going to talk about in part of the news tonight. A lot of stuff to research, a lot of stuff to see. Got to see the Jungle Cruise with all the Ooh. Brand new animation and figures and spiel. I missed out on Mickey's PhilharMagic with the new Coco scene. I was hoping that was going to soft open, but it never did. But I did get to ride Web Slingers three whole times in the course of 5 days in the parks, which is a lot better than some people. So I'm very grateful that I got to ride that many times.
You enjoy it?
I enjoyed Web Slingers a lot more than I thought I would based on watching YouTube videos. It's definitely not a ride that reflects well on YouTube. However, it really is still just a plussed version of Toy Story Mania and Ninjago. Much better visuals and gameplay than either of those, but it's still just a bunch of screens where it's a good thing the gameplay is a lot of fun. Flinging your arms at the screen is a lot of fun. So it distracts you from the fact that there's nothing but screens to look at and that, you know, there's really no characters. Spider-Man introduces it and pops up here and there, but there's none of his great villains, none of his sidekicks. It's all about spider bots. There's no emotional connection. It just doesn't have the humor or the thrills of Islands of Adventure's ride, which is 22 years old. It's a solid D ticket. If and when they finally build a real Avengers ride, it will be a fine distraction. As something that you have to choose basically between whether you want to ride Web Slingers or Rise of the Resistance, it's possible to do both in one day, but you have to be extraordinarily lucky. If you're going to pick one of those two, pick Rise of the Resistance, mm-hmm. for sure. No, I am not. I do not buy in-app purchases on any games that I play on my, on my console or on my phone. So I'm certainly not going to get an in-app purchase for a ride in a theme park that will increase my score for a ride that I can only ride once a day at the most. That blew my mind. I got to tell you, I saw piles of them everywhere. I saw a few people who were the kind of Disney fans who are a little too into Disneyland wearing them. But these are people who are probably also just buying, 3-day California resident tickets over and over again while waiting for annual passes to come back. So they're not the average customer at all.
No.
For the average customer, I cannot possibly recommend. What I recommend is taking lessons from my wife, who kicked my butt three rides out of three.
Nice.
She's a total non-gamer. Like, we can't play Lego Star Wars on the Xbox together because she struggles with which button does what. But she kicked my butt in Spider-Man over and over and over again. So basically just like pretend that you're like in a marching band drumming away as fast as you possibly can. And go for the gold spiders.
Oh my gosh.
That's all I got to say.
I wish you had filmed that so we could witness butt kicking in action.
Yeah, it's definitely not a ride that translates well to filming, either filming the screen or filming the person doing it. There's some clips from Media Day and no one looks cool. Even movie stars, who were in the Spider-Man movies do not look cool doing this. No.
Well, I'm
so
glad you had
yes.
A-
so that was my week. Thank yes. you for asking. How was your week?
My week was good. I got a haircut today, woo! Which I desperately needed.
The bangs are working.
Yes, I literally just got it like hours ago. I have been crawling through my letterbox list this week. Uh-huh. I watched both Paddingtons, which were
aww.
Absolutely sweet and perfect.
I believe Paddington 2 is officially, statistically speaking, the greatest film of all time. It's edged out Citizen Kane, I think.
I would agree with that.
It might be legitimate. That might be legitimate.
And then I bought this really cool thing that I feel like I have to share because it's ooh. Relevant to your interests. And technically, I didn't buy it yet. I reserved a spot to buy it.
Uh-oh. Is this?
It's this thing.
Steam Deck.
Steam Deck. So it's
so
like...
this is, like it looks like a Nintendo Switch that can run PC games?
Exactly.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
You know...
It's a...
What I gotta wonder about this with streaming now is a dedicated unit like this really the future? Because right now they if you have Xbox Game Pass,
mm-hmm.
you can now play those games on an iPhone or an iPad. They've unlocked it. It's worked pretty well. I've had some hiccups, but especially if you have a Bluetooth gamepad that you can pair it with. It's pretty impressive. So I'm wondering, you know, if something like this had come out a few years ago, be all over it. But I'm wondering now that there's more streaming options for PC games, whether this is going to be able to take off. What was the, what did you have to put down as a down payment on this guy?
$5.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're not out anything. And what is going to be the delivery cost?
$650. But listen, okay, so
I gotta say, you could buy two Oculus Quests for that price.
Okay, but could I play, because this thing, so it's not streaming, it's
right.
your Steam library, but it has like an onboard specific amount of RAM. There are like three tiers right. that you can buy into.
I wonder what the GPU is the equivalent of.
It said, but I don't remember off the top of my head. I got this one because it had
so
a really
an
nice like
AMD. Okay, Zen 2. All right, single chip. So interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, but the other cool thing is that you can load Xbox Game Pass on this and play Xbox games
it could
on
Xbox
this.
Xbox too. Okay.
You could uninstall. It comes with Steam OS, but you mm-hmm. can uninstall that and front load Windows on it if you wanted to.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm very excited.
I can't wait for you to get it home and benchmark it and
yes,
let us know.
I will.
Because, I mean, $700, you can buy a pretty okay gaming laptop for $700. Obviously, a different form factor.
Yeah.
But
this one...
I wonder what the heat is going to be like on that thing. Are you going to need to stick your hands in the fridge in order to play it?
I don't know. It has a fan up top right there, uh-huh. little grate. And then this, I assume, is speakers. And then there are speakers on the front. But the model that I got has like a special scratch-free glass on the top because I figured I get screen protectors for everything because I'm clumsy.
Sure.
and it comes with a case and all this other stuff.
Awesome.
I've just like, there are so many games that are PC exclusive or on Xbox Game Pass that I want mm-hmm. to play sitting on my couch while I'm
sure.
also watching TV. And
multitasking.
Exactly. And I just, it seemed really, really cool. And I've seen other kind of like indie portable PC handheld things
yeah.
before. They're like insanely expensive, like $1,400 expensive.
Yeah. I mean, if this is really able to compete with a decent gaming PC, then for $700 in that form factor, that's a real breakthrough. Cause,
yeah.
Excellent. You're going to have to, we're just going to have to turn from attractions to handheld gaming
I'm
magazine and
whatever.
Podcast.
But I will definitely, it's supposed to come Q2 2022.
Is going to be on the next season of Picard. So,
oh, there you
go. Different Q. All right.
Different Q.
Sorry.
But anyway,
you, I'm kind of jet lagged. These are the best jokes you're going to get tonight, folks.
That's okay. But that was all. That was the most exciting thing I did.
That's
with
awesome.
My week was land one of those. Because as you can imagine, getting a next gen console is a nightmare.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But I've just been really lucky.
Sitting at the bar at the airport last night, this morning, whatever it was, there was a guy who had a boxed PS5. Between his legs, just huddling there, protecting it, you know, ferrying it back like he had adopted, you know, a child from overseas, and was smuggling it home.
That's valid.
Craziness, folks. Craziness.
Yes. But without any further ado, let's get into the news. And our first bit of news this week, the NBC Sports Grill and Brew has finally opened after what feels like forever at Universal City Walk Hollywood.
Yeah, I believe it or not, just this morning, this afternoon, yesterday, today, whatever this is, I walked past it, poked my head in, did not actually eat there. Instead, I actually got some takeout from the really nice poke bar that's right Ooh. Above that to eat on the plane. But it is like a mini baby version of the Grill and Brew. If you know it from Universal Orlando, it's massive. It used to be the NASCAR Cafe in Orlando. And it was just this huge, long, long screen, like the biggest screen you've ever seen. This is a pretty big screen. I think it's like, 23-foot screen. But, you know, knowing the place in Orlando, it kind of feels like they took just the very front section of that Orlando one and just chopped off, like, the tip of it. You know, it's got a bar, it's got an eating area, but it's definitely not the massive multi-level thing that we have in Orlando. And they also have a slightly different menu. It's, you know, similar kind of upscale bar food items. I believe they do have a signature pretzel. A little different, you know, different executive chef. So slightly different lineup than Orlando. So if you really like the Orlando one, and you know who you are, Derek Bergen, if you're out there listening, go ahead and check out that one in Hollywood and let me know how it is.
Yeah, it's so tiny. That was, I think, when I got these pictures, I was like, oh, it's a tiny baby NBC Sports. But good to see it finally open. I remember Joe Spencer, one of our contributors, did a City Walk update post during the height of COVID, I guess we could say, because COVID's not really over, and walked past it and it was like empty, but they had everything inside of it and it was like sad. So good to
see
it.
But it's interesting because, you know, for a long time, the City Walk in Hollywood was very distinctly different from the one in Orlando in terms of the lineup. And now almost all of those original restaurants that they created for Orlando, they've imported over. You've got an Antojitos there, using very similar design, you know, different layout, but a lot of the similar artwork and stuff. They've got a Vivo there, they've got a Toothsome that's under construction. It used to be their Hard Rock Cafe. No more Hard Rock Cafe, which seems weird to have a City Walk with no Hard Rock. You know, they got all the signage for Toothsome coming soon, but the progress didn't seem to be very active while I was there. So hopefully that'll be sooner rather than later, but
I wonder if it will be
those milkshakes,
like what the footprint of that will be, because the Orlando one is massive.
Orlando one is massive, and the Hard Rock in City Walk was a good sized restaurant, but not as big as what we have in Orlando. Nothing in that City Walk. There's a lot more stuff in that City Walk. There are many, many more storefronts in that City Walk, they have less square footage on average. Mm.
over at Disneyland Paris, they have launched a new, they call it sanitary pass or health pass.
I would call it a vaccine passport, but I think in the state of Florida, they can have you arrested just for saying the word vaccine passport. Now. I think that's
well, you've said it twice now.
Sign. Oh, shoot. If I say it three times, Beetlejuice shows up.
Ron DeSantis will show up. but this new pass, it's either in physical paper form or on your phone, and it details the various kind of proof that you're not sick, basically. Whether it's being vaccinated or having an antibody test recently, if you had tested positive, or a negative COVID test in the past 48 hours.
This seems kind of similar to stuff that Hong Kong and Shanghai did when they started reopening too. You're not going to see this in United States, especially not in Florida.
Nope.
the numbers are not looking great, particularly for unvaccinated people. The numbers are spiking, especially with Delta variant all over the world. And all of the stats I see, I've seen say that it's people who are not yet vaccinated who are getting hit by this. So it's another good motivation. If you want to visit Disneyland Paris, you gotta get on board with this.
And this isn't just for Disneyland Paris. This is throughout France.
If you want to go to the Louvre or you want to go to the Eiffel Tower, pretty much any kind of tourism thing that you'd want to do in France, you're going to have to read up on this before your trip and make sure you get in line.
I wish that we could do something here in the States, even if it's not like required, just to be able to like open my Apple Wallet and have my vaccination card pop up.
Well, you know, it was interesting. When I landed in LAX, my phone popped up with something built into Apple that was COVID tracking for me to opt into. And I never got any kind of notification. I'm not sure what it would do or how it would know if I was exposed. But I guess it's some sort of contact tracing system that's states can opt into, and obviously California opted into that, but I don't know the details of that, but if I can keep my credit card and my annual pass from Disney World in my Apple Wallet, I should just be able to tap, show that I've had my vaccination, and move along.
Agreed.
It's either that or the microchip under my forehead, right underneath the 666 tattoo,
Do you have a magnet you can stick to it real quick?
Yeah, that's where I keep my spoons. Keep my spoons there.
Over at SeaWorld and Busch Gardens, all of the parks in Orlando, San Antonio, and San Diego, and Tampa, and Williamsburg no longer require reservations to visit. Yep. Though, based on what Seth said in our group chat,
it's a shock to me that they were still required, because I have not personally been to a SeaWorld park as a guest, non-media. I've always been walked in through the side for the last year that I've been there. From everything I've heard from people who have gone as guests, and if you're in the chat and you've been to SeaWorld, please chime in. They haven't been enforcing the reservation system in any way, shape, or form. And honestly, with the way SeaWorld seemed to be understaffed, they can barely get people in and out of their parks without trying to check everyone's ID and reservation status. They don't have a system like Disney has with their online park pass reservation being tied to admission ticket that they could just scan. I'm sure they could, but I don't think that SeaWorld has the technology or the labor or the motivation to do all that.
And on top of that, guests that are fully vaccinated no longer have to wear their masks either. But they don't ask for proof, much like all the other parks. It's just kind of honor system.
Honor system, which we're going to have to come up with a new word to use that, because I don't know. Like, I don't know how much honor is involved in all this anymore. I think it's just
the system.
Come up with a better name. Yep. Okay. Yes. Eric
said They
stopped
were
in mid-April, so that's been a while. Okay.
Yeah, and it's
And you know, San Diego saying face masks not required. Los Angeles County, which we can talk about in just a minute, is clamping down again. So who knows whether other counties, you know, it's down to the locality and the local government. So who knows what will be required? So check the website before you plan your own visit.
Speaking of SeaWorld Orlando, they have announced their first haunted house for their first ever Howl-O-Scream event called Dead Vines. And I have a bone to pick with
Okay.
SeaWorld about this announcement.
All right.
So I got the press release. I clicked on the video. The video has one of those like spooky pasta jump scare things where the screen is like completely dark and there's no audio, and then it's like blah. Scared the crap out of me.
So it worked.
So it worked.
So are you complaining that it was cheap or that it was effective?
That it was effective and I didn't have any warning. I
You
put
didn't
one
think that
in
you were
our.
clicking on something for something called Howl-O-Scream might have been in of itself a warning.
Universal doesn't go for those all the time in their announcements. I even, because I felt bad that someone else would have to experience it,
You
so
put
I
a jump
put
scare warning on the caption. Bless your heart.
to be nice. But anyway, this new house, the synopsis for it. Something is stirring among the trees. A shiver runs down your spine as you creep forward, one timid step at a time. Is this jungle alive or undead?
Sorry, didn't mean to blow out the mic there.
Basically, it's spooky, scary jungle.
So it's basically Poison Ivy gone bad without the IP.
Yes.
Gotcha.
The event starts on September 10th, which isn't that long from now. It's like a month and some change. And I assume we'll get at least a couple of more. They didn't say how many houses they were going to have this year.
Yeah, that it's all kind of nebulous. They've got a website with a lot of like blank icons and question marks and things that are being filled in slowly. So gonna have to keep checking in with their social media to find out exactly what's in store.
And over at Busch Gardens Tampa, they also revealed a haunted house this past week, which
And I'm
sounds
glad to see it's a
really.
different haunted house because I was a little
Yes!
afraid that they were just gonna be like, all right, we can just copy, you know, at least share, you know, save some work. But no, different theme, so that's cool.
Yeah, this one is called The Forgotten, and it is located near Tigris, with like sewer
Is that,
vampires.
is it pronounced Tigris or Tigris? I have no clue.
I have no idea if,
Tomato,
listen,
tomato.
there's like a human uprising and a swarm of starving vampires plotting revenge,
So we're supposed to
in a,
feel bad for the vampires?
I
Like
don't,
the humans are the bad guys and you know the vampires they just want to drink blood. Is that really so wrong?
I think you're, that's the
Am I
plot of
reading too much
Twilight,
into
I
this?
think.
Okay. I think so. I think so.
But the haunt takes place in a rock quarry, which is kind of
Ooh,
neat.
all right.
Yeah. But that's all that we've got. We did not get a video with this one unless they put one out since
But
this
we got
was
some
written.
a moody photograph of someone chained up with some neon bat wings behind them.
Yeah, it feels very like, I don't know. It makes me think of the houses that Slash does the music for at Halloween Horror Nights Hollywood, which he is doing the music for
For
a
their
house.
Bride of Frankenstein house, I believe.
Yes.
But I don't think they're going to be using his music here in Orlando. So if that influences your choice of which coast to go to, depend on how much you like.
Big news if you were planning on spending your holiday at Walt Disney World, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party is not coming back.
Sad. We have instead an after-hours substitute. And as far as I can tell, after-hours is Disney's way of saying half the party for the same amount of money. Like, Is that pretty much what after hours means?
We'll put it in Google Translate and see what
This year it will be a 4-hour event that takes place after the Magic Kingdom closes to regular guests. And the headline attraction of it will be Minnie's Wonderful Christmas Time Fireworks. There's also going to be character appearances, but not a big Christmas parade like in some years past.
Yeah.
Limited tickets, just like there were limited tickets to that Oogie Boogie event that went on sale. And if you follow Twitter's meltdown on that day, you know, Disney and limited tickets, first day of sales never go well. You know, if I were you, I'd wait to the second day of sales, because I know for Oogie Boogie, at least, like, people invested 12 hours of their lives trying to buy those tickets, and the next day you could just log right in, and aside from Halloween itself and a couple other days, pretty much everything else still had availability.
Wow.
So unless you have one particular day that is the only day you can do this, maybe hold off 24 hours after the sale goes. Otherwise, be prepared to spend a long time and maybe install two or three or four different kind of web browsers, or have several different devices open, and, you know, increase your chances.
Incognito mode too.
Yeah, that can help too. There's all sorts of tricks that, God, you really shouldn't have to go through, but apparently you do to get to these kind of parties.
I would also wait. Tickets go on sale next month. Mm-hmm. They haven't released a ton of details about it beyond this little blurb that we've got here. And it will likely be expensive. I mean, the Halloween after hours parties were anywhere from $160 to $200. Just make sure it's worth your money, in your opinion, because you're the only one that'll get to decide that. Over at Disney's Hollywood Studios, though, Sunset Seasons Greetings will be coming back.
Yep.
And then we'll get a motorcade down Hollywood Boulevard with Santa Claus. For the first time in forever, a Frozen sing-along celebration. We'll get the holiday tag with Olaf from the Frozen short that came out a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And then character dining with holiday theming will come back to Hollywood and Vine.
Yeah, both Disney World and Disneyland were starting to see the character meals starting to come back. Disneyland is going to be putting them back at the Plaza Inn coming up soon. So that's a big deal, I know, for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So if you want to book one of those, that's definitely something you're going to need to get on the app and hit those dining reservations right on the day those windows become available for you. I love the Sunset Seasons greeting projections on the Tower of Terror, especially the ones with the Muppets. I'm a little bummed that we have no word at all about any kind of fireworks show, whether it's the Star Wars ones or any other kind of fireworks show for Hollywood Studios, and nothing about Fantasmic either. So
I feel like we're going to be waiting forever, and then they're going to announce it, and it'll be like, and guess what? We renovated it. Mm-hmm. But who knows? And then Disney's Animal Kingdom, the seasonal projections on the Tree of Life with the Beacon of Magic thing happening for the 50th as well. And then festive flotillas will be decorated for Christmas and sails down the Discovery River. But that's about it. Then no word on those puppets, if they're coming back or not. I really like those.
Oh, those were really charming. They're kind of folk art style animal puppets. There was like a polar bear, baby polar bear that was really
cute. So cute. And the penguins were precious. And then, of course, the Epcot International Festival, the holidays, will return this year from November 26th through December 30th. The guest favorite, according to Disney, Cookie Scroll, will come back.
Who doesn't like cookies? Come on.
Yeah, but spending extra for cookies and then your reward for spending so much money is another
more
cookies.
I will say that the one thing wasn't mentioned on that, you know, they're not calling it a Taste of the Festival of Holidays. They're just back to calling it the Festival of the Holidays. But the live entertainment, the storytellers, I haven't seen them part of an announcement.
Me neither.
And I'm really going to miss them.
Mm-hmm. At least the Voices of Liberty, we have that as a guarantee, but not in the Rotunda.
I'm guessing they'll probably still be out on the American Garden stage.
And then Disney Springs will see the Christmas Tree Stroll come back as well. And then probably the most exciting thing for fans of the holidays at Walt Disney World, some of the gingerbread displays will come back this year.
Yes, those are a big deal, especially the one in the Grand Floridian, which is the one that's been around the longest. That's a big holiday tradition for a lot of people. So I'm glad that'll be back at least.
Same.
Question is how strictly they'll be enforcing, especially when it's peak season, enforcing. You might have trouble parking. If you don't have a dining reservation at one of these hotels, it's hard to just drive up and park and talk your way in unless they know that you're spending money. So make yourself a dining reservation or park at one of the parks and, you know, do a monorail crawl or something to do these visits rather than trying to drive in through the gate.
I see we have a thrill geek lurking in the track. We're getting there.
I hear you. Okay. Just hold on.
Be nice.
Working up to it.
Universal Studios Hollywood is officially requiring face masks again, at least in indoor areas.
As of today, and it was so weird because as we were driving into Universal, we'd seen the announcement that they would be enforced starting Sunday. And as we're driving into Universal, there's signs everywhere saying enforced masks indoors now. And I think there was a lot of confusion. They put up all their signage and they were making announcements. We did put our masks on when we were in the studio tour. Anytime we drove inside a soundstage, like for the Kong and the Fast and the Furious. But it was a little confusing because there was definitely a mixed message about whether it was required or not. And so they were saying it, but they weren't enforcing it yesterday. I guess as of today, they are absolutely enforcing it. And it's, you know, it's really, I don't know. This is not a political show. I don't want to get political, but please go out there and, you know, educate yourself if you still are unsure about things. As they say, do the research. And by that, I mean, not watch YouTube videos, actually like read the published studies you can on legitimate government websites. And, you know, reassure yourself and then get your vaccine because this new Delta variant is really, really tough on people who are unvaccinated. And there are people who can't be vaccinated. So if you can be, please do it for them.
Yes.
And honestly, like, it was so hot in California this past week. It was like, you know, I'm used to Florida heat. I thought, you know, it didn't look like it was going to be that hot, you know, in the high 80s, where I'm like, high 80s, nothing for me. You know, I can take high 80 with 100% humidity. No, like the direct desert heat in California now with like global warming or the climate change is just brutal. It was the hottest that I've ever been out in Anaheim. And I'm glad I did not have to do that in a mask.
but if I was there
this week, I would be doing it in a mask. So let's all work together so we can stop having to suffocate inside theme parks, please.
Yeah, and currently this is just for LA County, so Disneyland is not affected.
Disneyland is not affected by this, but I would say I saw as the week went on, more people starting to wear masks around Disneyland.
Yeah, so it could just be a matter of time, but stay safe. Bring a mask out with you if you're vaccinated, just in case. Let's all look out for each other. And then our last bit of news in the queue before we get to the main attraction.
I'm kind of amazed this isn't the main attraction, because honestly, like, this is like world-changing news.
I was worried this was too inside baseball to make it main.
Well, I mean, I think our listeners, our viewers, are sharp. They are informed. They are more than just your average roller coaster rider. You know, they want to know. You know, they know. They understand that this is a business we call show, and this is probably one of the biggest things that has happened in the history of Disney's, you know, Disney parks. 2,000 people moving from California to Florida is going to be a huge change for the corporate culture of Disney. And that's going to include a good chunk of what we know as Imagineering. You know, the days of 1401 Flower Street in Glendale being the epicenter of theme design in the world is over. Like, you know, there might still be some kind of skeleton crew out there, but, you know, the heart of the people who design Disney parks and experience and products are all going to be living around Lake Nona, which, God bless them. I'm so sorry, guys. For those of you who have grown up in Southern California culture and weather, I'm so sorry, because it's Lake Nona is basically a Truman Show kind of manufactured. you know, everything is perfect, and it's like The Good Place. You know, they have autonomous buses that will driverlessly ferry you around, and they've got high-tech laboratories and all sorts of fancy amenities, and nothing organic or soulful or real in any way, shape, or form.
So it's the bad place.
But you know, Tavistock, who developed this, has a lot of, you know, I guess nice homes that they want to be able to sell to executives. And I think that once the Disney executives get used to the fact that they will no longer be paying California state personal income tax, they see how much further their money goes property-wise in Florida. You know, maybe some of them will come around.
Yeah.
But I think that there's going to be a lot of old-timers who are like, you know, I've been here for 30 years. I'm not uprooting my family. I'm not leaving my home. It's time to retire, you know, or form a new company or something.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's probably what Disney wants. Like, you know, I've already seen on social media some name brand Imagineers, like people who worked on this Jungle Cruise ride that they just debuted and they're promoting. And some of the people who are promoting that are now saying, boy, this might be the last attraction I work on for Disney, because I don't know that I want to move to Florida. And, you know, maybe that's part of what Disney wants, because those people are expensive, and maybe they can hire some of these people who got laid off from Universal or laid off from other companies, you know, buy them up cheap, and, you know, start with a new generation of people that cost a lot less money. Because if anything, Imagineering does have a reputation for being very expensive. They do the best work, but they make you pay for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a big opportunity for Disney to kind of clean house and start over. I think there's going to be a lot of culture shock, though.
I've seen a ton of tweets of people just like, my boss, who's been with the company for 30 years, was crying at work today.
Yep. 18 months is nothing. Telling people you have 18 months to move across the country, especially with this real estate market right now, like, that is so wildly fluctuating. You know, it's shooting up, prices shooting up one day. So, you know, I'm sure if you're selling in California, you'll probably get more from your money moving out to Florida. But still, it's a hard time to buy. There's, you know, depending on where you want to be, there's not a lot of inventory here in Florida right now. I just saw in, I think it might have been the Orlando Sentinel, talking about, you know, real estate inventory for the kind of houses that these people are going to want is not, there's not a lot right now.
And then, like, if they have kids.
Yeah. Schooling. That's the big thing. Schooling in Florida, it's a landmine. I mean, it's a minefield. So yeah, there's a lot of people are going to have some real hard thinking to do.
Mm-hmm. And, this was all announced via a letter that Josh Damaro, chairman of Disney Parks Experiences and Products, sent out to everyone that works in this division that's based in California, basically saying, I know this is hard, but you need to decide.
Right. Yep.
And that they're going to start with 2,000 roles moving to Florida, and then over the next 18 months, everyone else except for like the small, tiny teams that might work on international stuff or solely Disneyland things.
Here's my question. Is Josh and his family moving out?
Ooh, that's, and like Bob Chapek.
Yeah.
Because
See that? I don't expect the people at the very top of the totem pole to give up their very nice, Hollywood homes.
yeah.
I don't see that happening.
Or they'll
They might
just
get a second home in Windermere. But
just like move into their Golden Oak home 6 months out of the
exactly,
year.
exactly, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but my thoughts are with everyone else who doesn't have a Golden Oak home and these like I don't know. It's uprooting your entire life for a career and
It's tough.
yeah.
And in terms of how this affects the theme parks long term, the one good thing might be if these Imagineers finally have to live in Florida, they might start designing attractions, especially queues, for Florida, and understanding that it rains here. Because a lot of they seem to design queues and attractions, not understanding that we're going to get a monsoon every day at 4 o'clock. So that would be a nice change.
And maybe, I don't know, I saw someone saying something about the upkeep at Walt Disney World might get a little bit better. Yeah.
I mean, because the people higher up on the ladder will be much closer to it, so that can't hurt for Walt Disney World. I do wonder if it will be we'll see less synergy between the film division and the theme parks. Having them right next door to each other for the last decade or so, it's been how can we shoehorn the latest movie into the parks? And if the studios are a continent away from the theme parks, maybe the theme parks will be a little bit more independent from whatever the latest movie release is.
That's definitely how it feels that they're trying to kind of segment the different aspects of the business. Like now, Orlando is going to be the theme park hub for Disney at large, and then Hollywood will stay film and TV, especially with Disney Plus being the focus.
Well, the one real silver lining for as hard as for the people out in California, this is great news for people who are like freelancers or wanting to get into the business here in Orlando, because it means that there's got to be a lot more, probably contracted work, a lot more opportunities to get your foot in the door, because there's going to be a lot more activity going out of this side of the country, as opposed to for people living in California. So
Yeah. So
opportunities are always good.
keep an eye on the Disney Jobs website if that applies
Oh,
to you.
absolutely. Absolutely. I get LinkedIn notifications. They had a show writer position open for
Oh.
Disney. I was tempted. I was tempted.
Oh.
But I just enjoy doing this too much. And
Oh, of
that's the
course.
thing. I would have to give up all of my other work if I actually worked for one of the parks.
Oh. But then we would have an inn. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Please don't leave. Everyone leaves.
I'll be your mole. My whole career will just be an undercover, just a scheme so that I can be
Perfect.
a spy on the inside for Attractions Magazine.
We'll get you those glasses that have the cameras in the
Absolutely.
temples. Yes. And before we get to this week's main attraction,
Ah,
let's have a
yes.
quick word from our sponsor, Destinations with Character Travel.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
All
Hey, you
right.
think they could send me to Disneyland?
Maybe if you ask nicely. For this week's main attraction, I know probably should have been the last one, but that one seemed like a, also it seemed like a really kind of bummer one to end the show on, and I didn't want to do that either.
Right. Well, then let's talk about cannibals and murderers and horrible things.
He wins the Texas chili contest every year.
Does, that's true.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre and The Bride of Frankenstein Lives are officially coming to Halloween Horror Nights at both Hollywood and Orlando this year.
Yeah, I actually got Eric O pointed out as we were in the park yesterday. We got a little glimpse of the maze that they're building for Texas Chainsaw. Kind of looks like a junkyard. I mean, we just saw some rusty and wood junk looking stuff. So couldn't really see much, but it's coming in Hollywood and also to Florida. I personally, this is one of my favorite horror movies. The
Same.
Original one. Original one is the probably the most misjudged horror movie of all time, because people talk about the original Chainsaw Massacre as if it was so gory. Watch that movie again. There's virtually no blood. You never see a chainsaw penetrate flesh. You never see any, you know, even the infamous scene where someone is hung on a meat hook. It's all implied. It's all, you know, seeing the backside of it or whatever. Just masterful use of just intense performances and just disturbing imagery with very little actual on-screen violence.
Yeah.
Of course, this is a Halloween Horror Nights thing, so we'll have to have plenty of gore and violence. And
yes.
But here's the thing. As much as I love, love, love Texas Chainsaw Massacre, didn't we just have Texas Chainsaw Massacre like 4 years ago? We had a house based on the original film that was very well done and had, you know, an immaculate recreation of the dinner scene and all of the bone lamps and all that. Done not too long ago. We should all be able to remember back that far. I'm glad they're not doing one of the remakes. Like, we had the remake that was like, what was that, 2006 or something? That was like,
yeah,
the 16th anniversary or something like that. We got the remake version. That was the first time they ever had official Leatherface. But I want Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Yes, thank you. I love that
like,
one.
I was having this conversation with someone. My two favorite horror comedies are Evil Dead 2 and Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, because they both take an original movie that was like gritty, low budget, serious, trying to scare the crap out of you horror, and basically remaking the movie as a bizarre, surreal comedy. And it's got Bill Moseley as Chop Top, who is just the best unhinged horror character ever.
So good.
And when they did a Texas Chainsaw Maze in Hollywood it might have been the same year we got Texas Chainsaw, that had the Chop Top character in it. So I wish they had come. I mean, the movie is set in an abandoned theme park. Like, so how perfect would it have been to get Texas Chainsaw 2? But I guess we're gonna have to make do with Texas Chainsaw 1.
I can just picture the end of Texas Chainsaw 2 as the end of the house.
Oh, when the whole mountain that she comes up
and she's like standing
that
there.
Iconic scene of her with the chainsaw at the end. Oh,
it's
brilliant.
So good.
And can you imagine an actor playing Dennis Hopper with, you know, double chainsaws in each hand?
Yes.
And the big cowboy hat. Oh my god. Yes, thank you, Thrill Geek. I knew someone would remember 5 years ago, so. Four Halloween Horror Nights ago.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see and compare if we have any footage of the old one.
Yes.
We gotta
have something somewhere. We gotta do it side by side.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, there's new people on the team now. I'm sure there'll be plenty of tweaks. I'm excited. I'm there for Leatherface every time.
Yeah. And the other exciting announcement is
that
The Bride of Frankenstein Lives again.
It lives again. Yeah, this is not a surprise, because we all knew we experienced this maze last year and we knew it was not torn down. It's great. People who didn't get to see it last year will get to experience it for the first time. And those of us who did get to see the plexiglass edition will hopefully get to see it as its creator intended. Sadly, its creator has left the company by now. I think this was one that Patrick really worked on, that and Tooth Fairy, I believe. But you know, there are other people on the team who I'm sure are going to plus this up and make it even better. I really enjoyed going through it last year, and I can't wait to see it without face masks covering everyone, hopefully.
Though I think this one more so than Tooth Fairy, at least in the footage that I watched, the masks almost worked like
Yeah, well, I mean, for the
very
bride, a lot of it,
yeah.
you know, she's wearing surgical masks, you know, and for the for this Dracula's brides, you know, it kind of blended in. But yeah, I want to see it full out. And this little short film that they did, just
It's
brilliant, perfectly
violent
captures the
and
mood.
gory.
Yeah, it was really really well done. Really
I
well.
was
I should watch
surprised
that. Yeah.
to see how far they pushed it, because Josh watched it before I had a chance to, and I could just hear him going like, "Oh my God!"
Yep.
from another room. And I was like, "What is it?" And he was like, "You have to
It's
watch this
pretty
Bride of
brutal.
Frankenstein thing." And I did, and it's like needles going into
Yep.
flesh. Everything is black and white except for blood, and it's just very gross. But like,
Blood. Good
we should
resonance on that one.
I'll sound clip that, and that'll be on our soundboard if we can get one. But yeah, it was very intense.
Yep, and
And
really
then
reflects. I thought a really. They've done a lot of classic Universal monster mazes over the years. You know, they had done the classic monsters just the year before. That was kind of like a hodgepodge of all of them. I really liked the focus and the storyline that they had with Bride of Frankenstein Lives, and really one of my favorites. Since, boy, was it like 98 or 99 where they did a double-tracked maze. There was one side that was classic. It was all kind of black and white, and then they had another side that was modern monsters. That was also one that's going back almost 20 years. No one remembers that one.
And then this one is the house that Slash will be doing the score for over in Hollywood. I wonder if they will get Tooth Fairy, and if Tooth Fairy is like, I know everyone assumes it will come back, but it hasn't been specifically said just yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are if you want to know, there are speculation maps that you can Google,
Yes.
and we can all read those and then play the game of what was correct and what wasn't when it all pans out. I still want to
Yeah.
know what's going into Shrek. That's my big question mark.
That's
What's in
that seems
Shrek?
to be everyone's big question, what's going into Shrek. And then
My
I feel
preference
like
would be Secret Life of Pets off the leash, but that's not happening yet.
oh, that would be kind of cute, like a little maze for kids with all the pets and the
No,
costumes. That would be
I
sweet.
mean the ride. That was so good. So that was maybe my favorite new thing that I experienced the whole week out in California. I got to do the new Knott's Berry Tales shooting ride, which was actually pretty good. And you know, all of Adventures Campus and the new Snow White redone, new Jungle Cruise. My favorite thing of everything was though Secret Life of Pets. So
I
cute.
saw the weenie dog from the queue on your
Oh my
Instagram story,
God.
and I was like,
Oh my God. He was just I the movement of that animatronic was just perfect. You know what? The movement of him kind of reminds me of in the queue for the Kong ride in Islands of Adventure. There's that slug thing in the queue that's got all the teeth and it's like, you know, a giant worm thing. But the way it kind of undulates around is so adorable. And that wiener dog does the same thing with his butt up against the mixing bowl thing. And it's, oh my gosh, so cute. So cute.
Oh, we've got
Yeah,
Girl Gate
legendary
conspiring.
truth. I heard the name Boris Schuster tossed
That's what
around.
I've also heard as
Yep.
well.
So you know the last time we really heard anything about legendary truth was for the 20th. They're really with the whole thing with the lantern and fear, and you know they kind of let that storyline lapse over the years. So it'd be interesting to bring that back. That would definitely be something for the fans. You know, they've already got the Scary Ohio or Carrie Ohio mythology is getting a house this year. So you know, bringing back Legendary Truth would also be a nice throwback to kind of the event's history for the anniversary.
Yeah.
Plus, I love the first Legendary Truth House had some of the best ghost effects that they've ever done. It was like actual kind of Pepper's ghosts and flying ghosts and a lot of really, really neat special effects that they haven't done that kind of stuff in a few years.
See, this part is so hard because all of
Yeah.
this stuff sounds great and I would love to see it, but I'm a big weenie.
See, what we need for you is one of these robotic avatars so that we can just like send your robot, with 3D camera and microphones
Put
into
like
the
a
house,
VR thing
and you can
on.
just wear a Quest and sit there and not actually get scared.
I would do
Maybe
that.
we can get Matt this year, if he gets a VIP tour for Halloween Horror Nights to take his because he's got a 3D 360 or 180 camera or whatever for VR recordings.
Yeah, someone
See if we can
just
get some
mail
of those to
me
come
their
out.
quest. I've hit my allotment on spending money on game consoles for this year, so I'll need to
Man,
borrow one.
best 300 bucks I've invested in a long time, I tell you. Kept me sane through the pandemic, that's for sure. Well,
Nice.
sane would be debatable. Ask my
Yeah,
spouse about that.
that depends on your definition of sane. And that's everything that we
That's
have for this
everything.
week. Yeah.
I feel like we
And
have a few more things that we should say, though.
yes, we do. I have a few listener thank yous to share this week. In case you
Yes.
did not know, Attractions Magazine has a four-tier subscription service. And if you pick club or VIP when you sign up, the week after you join, you get a shout out on the podcast. And this week we are shouting out Joshua Rawhauser, Douglas Stone, and Jordan Grosinger. Thank you
Thank
so much.
you. We're shouting you.
And if you are interested, our summer 2021 issue is available now at attractionsmagazine.com/store. And if you prefer it digitally versus the old-fashioned paper option, we have a digital subscription tier that you can also pick as well.
And we also, of course, want to thank our sponsor, once again, Destinations Character Travel. Before I mention that everyone needs to head on over to Apple Podcasts, pretty please rate us 5 stars. Even if you think that, like the Web Slinger ride at Disneyland, we're really only a 4-star
D
attraction.
tier.
Please be kind, give us 5 stars, give us a positive rating so we can draw other people in.
Yes.
And if you want more of this madness during the week before you tune into us next time, you can find me at theunofficialguides.com, at the UG series on Twitter, or at the Unofficial Guides on Instagram, where you can find that aforementioned reel with the wiener dog animatronic. I loved him so much. I think I posted him like twice or maybe 3 times. I don't know. It is worth it.
Yes.
Brittany, where can they find you?
They can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, but also every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at
All
attractions
day,
on Twitter,
every day.
at attractions magazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you've spent the last hour with us on a
Yay.
Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.